It was a good chance for me to
say that every time.
No, because it's not going to last too long because I'm not playing well right now. And it's a matter of time that you guys go past me. One of the things to follow in the EuroLeague right now is Kendrick Nunn playing in Arca because he feeds up the crowd. Every time he hits a three, they go mad and he reacts and people react and it's amazing.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the EuroLeague Fantasy Challenge podcast. This is the first episode of 2025, so happy new year to everyone watching us and watching the EuroLeague. My name is Vasiliki Karamuza, and today I have only one co-host with me because the truth is that Frankie saw the news about Lonnie Walker being maybe acquired by an NBA team because there are five teams interested in him. And couldn't take that, so she needed some time for herself. No, I'm just kidding. That's not the reason Frank is not here. But here is the one and only Javier Gancedo. Javi, how are you doing?
What's up? Well, ready for another fantasy year, another fantasy round, and it's gonna be. Hope we can do as well as Sasha Azaria, who had 187 points, 0.85 in our yearly Fantasy Challenge podcast private league. And well, he was the best team. We didn't do that well. I got 117, around 117. You guys got around 114. Like I said, I mean, nobody played well. But let's discuss what happened to your team to get only 114. I mean, it was a low scoring round.
Yeah,
but,
it was.
I guess we all made mistakes, right?
Yeah, it's evident that it was a low scoring round because the winner of the league didn't even get 200 points, which we have seen like 230 points lately. So I think everybody made mistakes. You know, it's that unlimited trades, that it's a trap sometimes because you make a lot of maneuvers. You say, I have to make the most of it because I have unlimited trades. So you end up doing things that you normally wouldn't do. And this time it didn't work out really well because neither Ercan Ousmane nor Panagiotis Kalaitzakis, at least for me, delivered the way I hoped and the way they used to in the previous round. So that was bad for my team. And I also didn't have Roman Sorkin in my starting six, which played really well. And this cost me some points as well. But you live and you learn, Javi. What about the lessons you learned this week?
I learned a lot. I learned that I have to keep my emotions straight because last minute I saw that Nikola Milutinov wasn't going to play.
Yes.
And that changed. I said I have to get Mustafa Fall no matter what, no matter the cost. And the cost was to sell Sorkin and to sell Howard.
Yeah.
And to sell McCormack, which were three players that did extremely well last week. And in the end, I ended up with Codinier and I ended up with Fall. And I didn't have Sorkin, who also had a good game. And McCormack also played well. I thought he was going to struggle against Tavares, but in the end, he didn't. And the Fall only got 9 points. So, yeah, it's been rough. But, well, still, I'm ahead of you too, so I'm happy about it. But it was a good chance for me to
say that every time.
No, because it's not going to last too long because I'm not playing well right now. And it's a matter of time that you guys go past me. So this was a good chance to get, I don't know, 50 points ahead of you. But I didn't. I should have listened to Sasha Vesenkov. I talked to Vesenkov. He told me that Howard is going to be my captain for last week and this week. And he aced it, as always. So I have the best fantasy advisor. I just don't follow his lead.
You should. You have inside intel from one of the best players in the EuroLeague and in the fantasy, and you don't take advantage of it. So it's all on you.
He doesn't play himself. He doesn't buy Sasha.
Yes.
Sasha doesn't buy Sasha, so that makes it suspicious because I always have Bethinkov in my team, and that takes a big chunk of credits. It's I don't know. Of course, he can afford Howard because he doesn't have him.
Yeah, sure.
Himself.
That's true.
That's what it is. I want to discuss about some players, and I'm open to discussion if you want to talk about the others. The first one is, of course, Dinos Mitoglou. This was my only good guess this week. It was crystal clear that without Lesort, Mitoglou was going to play some minutes at the five position, like you said in the podcast last week. Yes. Had a PAR of 20 with the victory was 22 in the game. I guess at 8.2 grades, I think it is. Mitoglou is a must right now, right?
Yeah, that was a predictable move from Adaman to play Dinos Mora at 5. Since Lesori is out and Gabriel hadn't really practiced with the team. Even though he had a good debut, I might say, and Pana get the away win in Munich, the first team to get victorious from SAP Garden. So that was a good result for the Greens. And I think that was Mitoglou's best game this season, I think. So yeah, he's one of my options this week, and he is on my team right now. Also, the price, as you mentioned, 8.2 credits is affordable. So maybe that will be a good move. I hope better than Osmani and Kalajdzakis turned last round.
Also, I want to discuss about Hart. Bezenkov is in around 30% of the teams. I think Kendrick Nunn is now the most owned player in the game, around 31%. Maledon is 25% of the teams, have one each four. Howard is only 6.1% of the teams. He's fantastic.
Yeah, he has been playing fantastic, but he's expensive. I think now he's more than 15 credits. That's that correct?
But 16, I think it's 15.5 or something. But still, it's cheaper than the players I mentioned who are in every team. So, time to get hard, maybe, or we should stick to Bezenkov and Maledon and Nan and all the players that we usually get.
You know, for a second, I thought about maybe trading Sasa Bezenkov, but with Sasa, you always know what you get. He's one of the most stable players in the league, so maybe that's a risky move, but I don't know. Maybe I will try it in the last minute if I have some second thoughts, or I don't know. But for now, I kept Sasa. I wanted to get hard because he has been dominating for so many games in a row. I think he has found his place, his rhythm, his confidence inside Odetkata's system. But I wasn't very positive in trading Sasa to get him, because I already have Maledon and Nan, and I didn't want to get rid of any of those because they're also playing great lately, and I didn't want to change that. So, yeah. You have to take a risk at some point, though.
Yeah, but, I'm going to keep Sasha, okay, so far. I mean, he's in my team. I don't know if by Thursday I'll... Because you know what happens to me? I talk to you and when available Frankie, and then I change my mind. But he's going to play Žalgiris. Zalgiris features Arnas Butkevičius, who is the kind of player who can bother him a little bit. Athletic, experienced, same size, strong. He's the kind of player who can actually give him trouble. Not many can do it, but Butkevičius definitely can. I don't know. I think I like Hoard over Sasha, but given the fact that every time I sub Bezenkov, he plays great, I'm going to keep him basically. That's the reason.
Well, another topic that maybe is hot right now is Asvel. As Frankie said, and I hate to admit that, and he was partially right about it, is that I was a bit late to jump into Asvel train, and I had the minus 10 from my coach, Pierrick Poupel, last week. But on the other hand, Tio Maledon played great again. He had 25, I think, PIR of 25. So I was half right, half wrong. What's going on there?
I think Nils Sakol right now is in the same situation as Mitoglou. Some player got injured and he's going to play more in a position that is not his usual one. And this plays Mbaye Ndiaye. He got injured. Now Sakol is going to see minutes at the fourth position. And for some reason, I think Sakol and Lavernier are playing really well together. Lavernier had a 24 PAR the other day, when they lost, and Sakho had 21, not scoring a lot, 12 points, but still getting 9 rebounds and playing well. These two players, I think they're worth considering, both at the center position. They're not very good cheap centers out there. And even the most expensive ones, Tavares had a minus 5 recently. Lesort is injured. And right now, everybody's getting McCormack and somebody else. And that somebody else could be Sako or Lovrecny. As for the guards, Maledon right now is a must. I think he's been amazing, and no wonder he's the MVP of the month. He's been fantastic. What do you think? Would you take Sako, Lovrecny, or none of them?
I was thinking about getting Sako, but I didn't. I won't tell you who I got instead. But he was on my radars because, as you said, when there's an injury and by chance we speed recovery to Bayendia here from Asvel, things change and you have to adapt. And Sako seems to be adapting really well into the position he has been assigned right now. And he started the season really well too. But then he was injured and Lovren took his minutes in five. So, yeah, there's always adjustments there. But, yeah, he's a good option.
Quickly, one more player I want to talk about is Dwayne Washington of Partizan. He's been playing fantastic in the last 3 weeks, especially the last round. He was unstoppable against Fenerbahce. He didn't start the season very well. I think he needed kind of an adjustment period because of this weird situation that he was in. Going back to the NBA, returning to Partizan. And now he's in full swing mode. I think he's at 10.7 credits. I think he's a very good option.
But the thing with Partizan is you never know who is going to play well. They don't have like this star player that always going to play well. You have to guess. Like sometimes it's Sterling Brown, sometimes it's Carlick Jones, sometimes it's Tyreek Jones, sometimes it's Dwayne Washington. That's what makes me a bit hesitant. I'm not sure who's going to step up in the next game.
Yep, I agree. And same happens with Real Madrid, actually. I had Zana Musa, and he got a 0 2 weeks ago. I had Tavares, he had a minus five. So I'm just staying away from Madrid all around. I'm not going to buy any player for the next five or six rounds, no matter what happens. Anyway, let's move on to our teams. Let's discuss trades. Should you go first, Vasiliki, please?
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much. You're being a gentleman once again. So I will start with what I said a few minutes ago. I wanted to get rid of Pierrick Poupet because I had a minus from my coach and I can't afford to do that. This is the worst thing that can happen in fantasy. So I went and bought a coach that has double his price. And I mean Ergin Ataman from Panathinaikos. Pan is playing Virtus Bologna at home in Oaka. They're coming from a big away win. They want to start their 2025 in a good fashion, I think. And Virtus is depleted with Singelia being out, which is a major problem, I think, in my eyes, even though Virtus managed to beat as well in the previous round. I think like Panathinaikos is the favorite for this game. So I will go with Ataman. As we already said, I had Dinos Mitoglou in my team. And in order for that to happen, I had to trade Ercan Osmani. And the other two trades I made is Kalaitzakis out because I already have too many people from Panathinaikos and I don't like to have too many players and coaches from the same team. And I got Banjasi from Paris because he was a cheap option that can produce some points from my bench and I couldn't afford something better there. And last but not least, I had to get rid of Devin Booker because I needed to sacrifice some of my expensive players. And I got David McCormack, who I traded last week and wasn't really a smart option after all because he still played really great for Alba. Now that Trevin Williams is also out, he's a go-to guy in the center position. So that's it. What about you?
Well, first I have to say I like your trades. They're very similar to mine. Some of them are even the same. So, and shout out to Achille Pallonara, by the way, who had three weeks in fantasy and not playing very well. And then the minute I trade him, he gets a PR of 26. Unbelievable. Anyway.
It happens all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. I also traded my coach who had a negative score, Peñarroya, for Ataman. So that's the same move as you did. I also got McCormack replacing Fall. I thought Mustafa Fall was going to be the man I thought he was going to be MVP in round 18, really. When I saw Milutinov wouldn't play, it's like, this is his chance. Milan is without, they have no centers or Josh Nivo sidelined and everything clicked until it doesn't, of course. I traded Cordinier to get Marko Guduric. He's been playing well. Again, Wade Bowen is injured. Also, Dragan is injured, and Wilbekin is out for a long time. I'm not exactly when he's going to be back, but that turns Gudrich into a point guard option. He's not really naturally a point guard, but he's going to play minutes there. And then I trade off money, like you did, and I got Roman Sorkin, who has been playing fantastic lately. Frankie cannot recommend him enough, and for once, I'm gonna follow his recommendation. And that turns my team into this. In turn one, I have Théo Maledon, Terry Tarpey, great signing by, I think he's been absolutely great for his price. Przemkov, Booker, and McCormack, two centers in round one. And then in turn two, I have, well, everybody else. Dinis Mitoglou, a lot of players around 10 credits, 8 credits. Yes. It's Dinis Mitoglou, Tamir Blatt, Roman Sorkin, Gudrich, and Kalaitzakis with Ataman as head coach. What's your lineup?
So I will start with McCormack, Vzenkov, Sorkin, Maledon, Nan. I have Mats Razel as my sixth guy, and I have on my bench Malte Dillo, who only cost 5 credits and had 15 PIR in last week. So maybe that's a good move there. Banji Asi, Dinos Mitoglou, and Elgin Diaye from Real. I had to keep him even though he wasn't in the 12-man lineup in the last game. But now Gabi Dek is injured, and I'm not sure if he's going to play. I hope it's not a serious injury because it didn't look really good when it happened. I hope it's not serious because he had already faced 2 serious injuries in the past couple seasons. So speed recovery to him as well. And so I have Ndiaye in my bench for a second center option because I couldn't afford something better. So yeah, we'll see. We hope and pray for the best this time.
I have to say that Panathinaikos plays at home, and that's a chance to see Kendrick Nunn, who has been fantastic at OAKA lately.
Yes, yes.
It's been a show. Is the one of the things to follow in the EuroLeague right now? It's Kendrick Nunn playing in OAKA because he feeds up the crowd. The crowd, every time he hits a three, they go mad, and he reacts, and people react, and it's amazing. So if you can, don't forget to watch Panathinaikos Virtus no matter what. If Nunn plays well, it's going to be a show. We have more games, right?
Yeah, we have more games, and we have to select captains before that.
Oh, yeah.
Captains. Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm not doing for Bezenkov this time. I'm going with Maledon.
What a surprise. Who would have thought?
Yeah, Maledon had a PER of 24 or more in the last 6 games. No wonder he's MVP of the month. He's been rock solid. So I'm going with Maledon, and if everything goes wrong, I'm kind of in trouble because, like I said, my bench doesn't feature anybody. I'll probably go with Sorkin as second choice of captain.
Okay.
But I have to think it through. Now that I see that I don't have a superstar in turn two, maybe I'll have to shake things up a little bit. We'll see.
Okay. So we'll go with who else? Sasha Vezenko for T1. And I have Kendrick Nunn for T2 if something goes sideways. Like it kind of happened last week, I had Sasha Vezenkov, and as I said to Frankie, if he has less than 25, I will go with someone else. That's what I did, and I picked Nunn over Maledon, and he was slightly better than Maledon. So at least I made one good choice last week when it comes to my captain. So I hope I will make the best choice this week too.
We hope to start 2025 better. We give good advice, but then our teams don't follow their advice many times, and that makes us lose a lot of credits and a lot of points. So let's hope 2025 is a little bit better for everybody in the game and outside the game. We'll see.
Wise words from Javi Gancedo, and that was it for the first episode of this EuroLeague Fantasy Challenge podcast of 2025. Thank you everyone for watching. Stay tuned on EuroLeague TV to catch all the action of round 19. Do not forget that the game of the week, the rivalry series game of the week, is of course the Turkish derby between Fenerbahce and Anadolu Efes. So stay tuned there, and don't forget to subscribe, like, comment, and recommend this podcast to your friends.